Let's begin today by reading from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me just start from verse 13. It says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are of sound mind, it is for you." That is, the things that we are doing, whatever it is, whether that's trying to simply please God or trying to bring a blessing into your life. In verse 14, it says, "The reason is because for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." That is, what we are doing because we have come to understand that we are not to live for ourselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on our behalf. And that is served, or that is expressed in two forms in life. Number one, that we are doing things simply to please God. Or number two, that we are trying to impact the life of people positively by the things that we are doing. But that is how we know that we are living for the one who died and rose again on our behalf. I hope you get that point. All right, so he now said, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." That's New American Standard rendering. He said, "All we know is," verse 17, "if anyone is in Christ, is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God." Now, notice where I'm going, actually, verse 18. "Who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, please notice that I'm titling my message today, "The Ministry of Reconciliation." We have been speaking about the ministry of wealth, and today is the fifth in that series, and this is still part of it. And I've titled it "The Ministry of Reconciliation." Now, you will notice what he's saying here, that God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He said, namely, that this is what we are preaching in this ministry, that Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. For this reason, he says in verse 20, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now, he now said that he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness, or the demonstration, actually, of the righteousness of God in him. Now, please, you will see why I read this, and I said my emphasis is on verse 18. That is, God has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Now, please notice what he said, where we started from, that if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. That is, whatever we are doing, we are not doing anything primarily for ourselves. We are doing it for God and for people. And like I've explained before, that if you say something exists and the thing is spiritual, something exists in the spiritual realm, there is always a manifestation of that thing in the physical realm. That if somebody says he fears or loves God that he cannot see, that James said you will see that demonstration in the love he has for people that he can see. If you are serving God, God really, believe me, especially under the new covenant, under the Old Testament, a man could tell you that he's serving God, and what he calls the service of God is that he carries a ram and he goes to sacrifice. Or he takes, it's Passover, he shows the fact that he believes in the God of Jacob that delivered the children of Israel. Therefore, he gives a sacrifice during the time of Passover. Now, all those things were demonstrable under the old covenant. But unfortunately, under the new, it doesn't work like that. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "This is what God is seeking now, those that worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, one thing I want you to understand is that even under the Old Testament, God wanted those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And he said, if you read Psalm 50, that "This is one thing I have against you. All your sacrifices that you have placed before me, they are correct." He said, "But you have neglected to give me a sacrifice of thanksgiving." Now, what does he mean there? I searched the scriptures and I found out that Moses really did not command them concerning the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He didn't tell them, "You will bring this, you will bring that, you will bring this." What he was saying in effect is that the people were supposed to bring free will offerings unto God after he might have done something for them. That's why he said, He said, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you. We taught a message on that titled The Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. Now, I'm trying to bring out something here, that even under the Old Testament, what God really wanted were those people that gave him things out of their free will. That was what he ever wanted, even under the Old Testament. And in Isaiah, he complained that there are, if you read my version, New American Standard, there's what I call rote worship. That is, those who worship God according to things that are written down. They put up their hands in the right places. They pray at the right times. They seem to do everything properly. Why? Because that's how it has been written down. But what God really wants is those who worship him from the Spirit. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you are filled with the Holy Spirit and then you begin to stagger and then nobody knows what, you know what I mean? These people are filled with the Spirit before, you know, they don't know what they are doing. No, listen. I wrote in that book I told you about, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I taught that thing inside it. That, listen, worship in spirit, because people are maybe from Kenneth Hagin's teachings those days, people think that for you to worship in the Spirit, you must be, you know, something must be going wrong. Or if you want to dance in the Spirit, you know, your trouser must fall off, or, you know, you must be out of order. You get my point? And they said that people even said that the worship of David was not in the Spirit. And I said, I don't agree. The worship of David, when he danced before the ark, was indeed in the Spirit. And you will see there was no commandment to dance before the ark. That's what made it in the Spirit. He did it when Michael challenged him and said, why are you disgracing yourself like this? He said, it's before God who made me a shepherd boy, king in place of your father and his whole household. That is, the man danced out of deep gratitude that was inside his heart. And Jesus said in John chapter 4 that that is the kind of worshiper that God is looking for. Are you getting my point? People who do things because they are persuaded. It came out of them spontaneously. It's not because somebody commanded them to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That if you are going to worship in spirit, which is what Jesus Christ said God is looking for, I mean, and you are going to be sane all the time, but you are supposed to worship as a lifestyle. So worship in the spirit doesn't mean that you have gone mental, or, you know, we just don't know. You don't know what happened. Something just took over you. That's not what it means. What it means is that the worship, the acts of worship, were coming out of you spontaneously according to your faith and your gratitude. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when God said, give to me the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he's saying that call upon me in the time of trouble and I deliver you, then you will pay your vows. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That if you say, God, if you do this thing for me, this is what I want to do. Now, what he's saying, that when you do that, it is out of personal gratitude, not because somebody wrote something down. Are you following the point I'm trying to make here? Now, I'm explaining this, that when worship is present, okay, even when it is present in your heart, every time things exist in the realm of the spirit that we can see, there is always a tangible and physical manifestation that we can see. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So if you are serving God, under the old covenant, you may have gone to carry sheep and kill. Even on those days, it was okay. But what God really wanted was somebody who sacrificed a sacrifice of thanksgiving. All right? But now, you know, God doesn't want ram. You know, you can't go and give a sacrifice. So the issue now is that how do you say you are really serving God? That's actually why I'm saying all of these things. When we say we are serving God, how do you really serve God? Are you getting my point? And that's what Paul was explaining. That when we are serving God, I'm putting my own words now, we'll see that the service of God is for us the ministry of reconciliation that we are executing on the people that we can see. So when I'm reconciling people back to God, that is the service of God. I hope you're getting my point. So he said like this, if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. What he was saying in effect is that whatever we are doing primarily for God, and it is manifested in the fact that we are doing things for people. Do you get my point? Because God does not eat food. It's how you relate with people on earth that really shows whether you are serving God or you are not serving God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In fact, I believe this. Look, as a person, as a Christian, your fear of God is reflected to a large extent in your fear of the brethren. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. That is why, if you see what Jesus said, it was possible for the church. Just that these days, churches are organized in an interesting fashion. Not really the way God wanted it to be organized. Otherwise, if you see the way it was, if the church of God indeed settles down and excommunicate somebody. I don't mean one denomination. You know, that one is very common now. When they excommunicate in this denomination, you just enter the next denomination, you know what I mean? And you're welcome. A lot of times, your excommunication is because somebody is personally angry with you. It has nothing to do with the breach of spiritual order at all. It's just because somebody is personally unhappy with you. But where things really work, that is, the way God designed it to be, if the church sits down and they bring a matter before the elders and they judge on behalf of the church and say this guy has sinned, he must repent publicly, and he refuses, listen, they had the right to condemn him to death. They won't touch him. They won't touch him. They will let him go. And you will see sickness and problems will descend upon the fellow as a manifestation of the judgment that the elders of the church passed upon him. Now, you don't see such things easy because even the elders, they suppose they excommunicate. you understand what I'm trying to say? No, it's true. That's what Jesus said. You want to cast the stone. Okay, anyone who has not committed adultery amongst you, cast the first stone. They look and said, I just don't have time for you to deal. And then they started going their way. Now, are you following the point I'm making here? That is, things are in the realm of the spirit. That's what I'm trying to explain. We have physical manifestations. Now, let me just try and sit down my issue of the ministry of reconciliation. Now, so what I want to bring out from there actually is that, now, when things are like that, you see, therefore, we are saying that they are in two levels. There is a spiritual level, number one, and then there is a physical manifestation of that thing that's in the spirit. Now, there are many things I'm going to say today. Please just try and follow me. Even if I sound disjointed, just try, all right? Now, when people are separated from God, because here we're talking about the word of reconciliation. What does it mean to be reconcile somebody or something? What that implies is that there was a time of separation. Are you getting my point? And of course, without going to the basics of Christian faith, we understand that sin is a source of that separation. And the manifestation of sin is what we call death. That is, there's what the Bible calls death coming into the earth because of sin. And when death comes in, what happens is when sin sets in, it generates a force, which we have taught in previous time, that is called death. Death is a spiritual force that goes around wrecking everything. Let me just summarize it like that. So you see that death enters a marriage, the husband and wife, they turn the sitting room to no wrestling arena, and then finally they divorce. That is called death. Are you getting my point? Now, death can enter a body, that is a physical body, and sickness sets in. Death can enter somebody's heart and the heart doesn't function properly. Death does not mean you fell down and you died or somebody died or something. But that is the ultimate. That's still death also. Somebody dying prematurely, that is a force of death. And that works because of what? Sin. Now, there's something I want you to bear in mind. I said something, I think, last Saturday, which I want to say it again. We taught it in the school of Bible exegesis. That when God said to Moses, Abraham, that I'm going to give you this land, all right? Yet, he wanted to bury his wife. You know what he did? He brought out money and bought a portion of that land that God said he would give him. Are you getting my point? Now, what I want to bring out from there is this. When something exists spiritually, there is an order physically that follows, or things will go one by one, in which, listen to me, God does not break laws. God will follow that order and bring to pass the thing that exists spiritually. Is the process of the word becoming flesh. Please, I'm following something. I'm trying to bring out something here. So if God cursed somebody, all right, or let me just start with blessing. If God blesses somebody, what happens is you will see that maybe he's doing business as an example. It starts going well, but he can trace how the thing went well for you. I don't know whether you get my point. It's not as if I just woke up one morning, I was going along the road, I opened my boots, and therein was $500,000. I didn't know how it got there. And I dreamt that an angel must have dropped it. Praise God. So that was the seed for my business. It doesn't work like that. If God wants to give him $500,000, God will probably give him an idea, which he will sell to one person and the person will refuse. He will sell to a number of people, nobody will agree. Then finally, somebody as crazy as himself who has $500,000, we give it to him, all right? With an agreement that you will pay me so and so and so profit on it when the business starts doing well. And that will be how you got $500,000. God does not mint money. Do you get my point? Listen, I've said it before. If you go and walk around a large portion of land, claiming it in Jesus' name, don't build on it until you get the certificate of occupancy, I beg you. Otherwise, El-Rufai will come and bulldoze the place for you. You saw a lot of churches who got breakthrough land in Abuja. You know what happened to their breakthrough land. At the end of the day, El-Rufai claimed it back for God. You getting my point? I know what I'm saying. There's a reason why I'm saying all these things. So if God wants to bless somebody spiritually, if God blesses somebody spiritually, naturally speaking, there will be a progression. You will see a logical progression, okay, that results in the man being blessed physically. Now, that is the reason why scientists in the past, not now, they tried to make it appear as if there was no God because they were able to understand the ways of God. So they thought that meant there was no God. But that doesn't mean anything. It just shows that you have discovered the way by which God did those things. That's only what it means. I was reading a book. One of the friends of this ministry, when I traveled, said, I should please help him buy a book. It's the story of John H. Johnson, the founder of Ebony. All right? All of you know about Ebony. Now, this is the story of how a very poor black boy from the South in America moved to Chicago with his mother, and then his stepfather joined them. And at the time, they were so poor that the family, they were on welfare. But how he rose from that, and without, you know, after high school, he didn't go beyond. He wanted to go beyond, but these things took him over, all right? And eventually, he became a very wealthy man, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And at a point in time, when he was writing the book, he had been listed as among the top 400 richest men in America. Now, I won't tell you the whole story, but one thing I want to bring out is this. At the end of the book, I believe he doesn't have too much spiritual understanding, all right? But he was a blessed man for certain reasons, all right? Now, but he somewhere halfway through the book, some people ask me, how did you do it? The first thing he said that I was lucky. I said this, you know, I've said it before. Luck is a colloquial expression for the manifestation of blessing. Are you getting my point? Then at the end of the book, he made an error, in my opinion. He said that I have shown people how I did it, and they can also do it like that. I said, no, they can't. For them to do it like that, they first have to be lucky. And luck is something you can't count on. Are you getting my point? Because he himself will tell you the first publication they had could have killed them. That is, the publisher, the printer printed for him, thinking that he was printing for his boss. The boss had money and could foot the bill. This young man just took advantage of that. That means he needed to sell that thing. There was a time when World War II was on. He went. The government said he was using beyond his quota of paper because of the war that's going on. They had to ration everything, and he went before the board. Now he went to a very smart lawyer, and the lawyer told him that, listen, my friend, there is no lawyer that can help you. You have broken the law properly. There is no argument against this. When he finished telling him, he said, I will not even go with you as a lawyer. It's pointless. He said, but let me give you personal advice. Don't take a lawyer. Go there, look like an idiot. As a black man that you are, explain to them how much work you have done. And you start to convince them that you didn't know about it. And that's it. That's all. And may the Lord be with you. You know what I'm saying? And he went there. Did just like that man has said, and one of the men on the board happened to be a publisher himself. And you know, he had compassion on his plight, and that was how they allowed him, because then all they needed to do was tell him, your quota is too much, go back to the particular level, and the business was dead. What am I saying? He was lucky. He was lucky to have met a lawyer who was not interested in his money. He was lucky to have met a lawyer who decided to tell him, go with no lawyer. He was lucky to have a man on the board who had interest in publishing. Now, these are things you can't engineer. So when the man said, you can do it too, I said, oh, God, you also need to be as lucky as you were. Luck is what makes the difference between a blessed man and the one that's not blessed. Are you getting my point? Please, I'm building my point slowly, but I hope you are learning something. Now, so the point I'm making here is this. Though it appear like you could draw a line, because I believe that is blessedness. Just for just to complete my story, I read things with spiritual eyes. When I read the whole thing, which is part of what I'm teaching today, in fact, good enough. That's part of what I'm teaching today. It was the time. Are you getting my point? It wasn't like he was smart. It was that God chose a man that could do what he wanted to do, because the time to favor the black man had come in America. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because he will show you the effects that Ebony had. He will show you the effect that people like them had in the society. It was not just him, but he was just the central one that eyes were focused on. Are you getting my point? They were just tools that God used to, in quote, reconcile the black man to prosperity. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I don't know whether you are getting my point. That is, he was a tool that God used. And that's exactly what I'm trying to teach today. Now, so when you see that something spiritually exists, all right, when it's going to manifest physically, it doesn't manifest like a God of miracle. You know what I mean by God of miracle? Today, if you were poor yesterday, you will not be poor again from today. My friend, if you were poor yesterday, the chances are that you'll still be poor today and tomorrow and next week and next month. Except that the level of poverty will be changing little by little. And by next year, you will no longer be poor. And in 10 years' time, you will be exceedingly wealthy. And in 20 years' time, you will find it hard to remember the days of poverty. After all this miracle, God doesn't work miracles usually. I'm not saying he can't work miracles. Jesus walked on water. That is true. How many times? Every other time he borrowed a boat. Are you getting my point? It was written. No, you must get this point, though. Because Christians, you know, they like to walk as if, you know, like somebody said that when you want to buy a used brain, buy a Pentecostal brain, that, you know, if you buy a used car, you check the mileage. That's all. If the car has 300,000 miles on it, you know it's a dead car, especially if it's four cylinders. But if he has only 10,000 miles, that's a new car. It doesn't matter whether the car is 20 years old. All right? So the man said, Pentecostal brain is not used at all, so it's very expensive. But buy it, that the Pentecostal man does not use his brain. It's the spirit that talks to him. You getting my point? His brain doesn't work at all. No, there's a reason why I'm saying this. We must understand this. There are spiritual manifestations, I know. Are you getting my point? But God doesn't just go around breaking order anyhow every day. And people think that that is a manifestation of God. It's not true. I said that when Abraham wanted to bury his wife in the same land that God said, I have given to you, you know what he did? He paid money. If God says, I have given you this house, it doesn't mean you won't pay for it. So people think that, why should I pay for it? God has said, has given me. Money is a tool. You will use that money to fulfill the word of God by paying for the house, and then the house is yours. And God, therefore, has given you the house. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? No, these things are very important, because what we are talking about, ministry of wealth, that's why we must understand this thing. So now, this point I'm trying to make here. So when you see that something spiritual exists, it follows natural order, which is guided by the spiritual force behind it to bring the results to pass. Are you getting the point there? Now, so when we are talking about reconciliation, remember about sin. Now, let me get back to the matter of sin. I've said this in previous teachings, and let me explain it again. People can argue about this, but my understanding of the Bible shows me that this is accurate. And then when I read a comment recently, somebody was attacking it. And usually when I see something attacked, it means somebody has said it before. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I said that, look, the primary reason why you find that the black man, you know, people, you've heard it said before, what's the problem with the black man? I said the problem was spiritual. That what happened was Noah looked at Ham and said to his descendants that a servant of servants they will be. Moses wrote the one about Canaan down for us to read in black and white. But we know for sure that it was not only Canaan that was cursed. Put was cursed. Mizraim was cursed. Cush was also cursed. Are you getting what I want to say? But then this is what I want you to understand. The manifestation over time. Now listen to this. I'll use modern day Nigeria to explain it. The manifestation over time is not that the land suddenly didn't bear fruit. When the children of Israel came to take over the land of Canaan, they said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Are you getting the point? Now, I want to use Nigeria as our example. I believe that Nigeria is the center of demonstration of what God did for the descendants of Cush. Now, I know I believe that. When the colonial masters came, let's use modern day to help me explain what I want to say. You know, Nigeria prospered. You know that. Now, I know that the people didn't prosper much, but as a nation, things were okay. They were well organized. Are you getting my point? Roads were well maintained. They may not have been many. They were well maintained. Infrastructure was being developed. Then one day we said, no, like Esau. We threw up the yoke from our shoulders when we're not ready for it. And then the manifestation of the black man began. Now, the things that control physical things are spiritual. And they are just inside people. And that is where the curse works. You've heard me say this again and again. That when you say a witch is making a man not prosper, go and check what the witch is doing. The witch is inside his brain. It's not inside his office. The witch will make them steal his goods. That is true. Except that the witch will not make the lock. It will not break the lock. He will make him buy bad luck because when he goes to the market, he said this one is expensive. The witch will remove his brain. He will buy the cheap lock, which the thief will find easy to break. No, that's that. I know what I'm trying to say. That's the spiritual progression. So Nigerians began to rule. First thing, nepotism sets in. People stopped sitting down on what was excellent, started checking what was my brother, what was from my place. Therefore, they began to entrench mediocrity. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Greed was put upon the throne. And let me tell you something, what God said. God said that when I want to, he said, this is how I appointed the Egyptian. I turned the heart of the Egyptian against his brother. Then he said that I will put them into the hands of a cruel ruler. That's actually what I'm looking for. So you find that the nature of the ruler they got was not the manifestation of whether they were blessed or they were cursed. Are you getting my point? So they'll get rulers who will get up and talk nonsense publicly, who will appoint ministers that don't have brains. Do you understand my point? So you see that the economy of the country began to grind slowly but persistently downwards. You can trace it. An accountant, an economist will sit down and show you the points of wrong decisions that ran the country down. I don't know what you're getting, what I'm going to say. So don't think they just say that we don't have this course is working. You can sit down in school and analyze how the courses worked and wrecked the economy. You'll be able to follow why the smart executive failed. You'll see points in which he made wrong decisions. A blessed man will have made the opposite decisions at such times. Now, that is the difference. You see, it's not as if inside the air, you just find out that when this man plants, this is not just grow. No, the difference usually comes in that they will say, buy NPK, 15, 15, 15. He will go there that day, they will say NPK has finished. That the one that is there now is, do you know what I'm talking about, NPK? Okay, I just realized that not everybody has my background. You know, there are different kinds of fertilizer. The commonest one uses, we call it, that's nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, all right, NPK. So the proportion vary. There's 15, 15, 15, there's 20, 10, 0, all right? Depending on the number of N, P, and K that's there. Now, there are things you use for different seasons. Are you getting my point? Now, so the man may just get, they say, look, 15, 15, 15 has finished. Somebody will just come. An agent of Satan will come and say, oh God, buy 20, 10, 0, doesn't matter, it works all the same. You've gone to the market also. You've seen the man who say that. You say, you want to buy a trouser. He say, what waist size? He tell you, I want 36. Say, no, but you won't wear them. You know why he's asking? He doesn't have 36. He has 38. Or he's 34. So that's your size not 34. Now, those are messengers of Satan. The blessed man will not really listen to him. The man that's not blessed will listen to him. So later on, he said, why did you buy bad trousers? He can explain that the man persuaded me by much talk to buy 38. But it's not your size. Now you have wasted money. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say here? That is, the curse upon him is manifesting step by step in a manner you can trace physically. So people start fooling themselves that it's not a curse, Joe. After all, we can see how the man. Are you getting what I'm saying? How everything went wrong. I remember one man many years ago. I don't know whether this what they charged him with was right or not. I don't know. But when he made a statement, I said, this guy, anybody who understands spiritual things, you know, this your argument is faulty. They accused him of using one girl to make money, all right? His girlfriend. Because the girl became sick and was just vanishing, you know. They didn't understand. They said the sickness was mysterious. Now we know it was HIV, all right? Then we didn't know. Now we know, because this was about 25 years ago, all right? Now, so when they went to, the reporter went to the man's house, and the man, you know, from very humble issues a few years before, he had become very rich and built one mighty house in the center of the city where he was living. And some people came to ask him that, is it true? He said, look, he doesn't talk to reporters. But that man persuaded him and he talked to him. He said he can show them records of how he did his business, where he borrowed money from, which bank lent him money, that he didn't use anybody for money. I said, my friend, that is not a good argument. Are you getting my point? Those who indeed used rituals to make money, they can also show it to you. How they got a business, how they got a job, how they got a contract. They will show you how favor, what those things buy for you is what? Favor. That's what they buy for you. So just say, look, don't fool us. If you did not say you didn't, don't use your bank statements as an explanation for what happened spiritually or did not happen spiritually. No, that doesn't make sense. Now, I've said all of this to show you how bad things come upon people. Now, my message, I told you that I'll build it step by step, but please, I hope you are patient. I hope you are following me. Now, remember, was I reading what? The word of what? Reconciliation. Now, when sin and a curse, as an example now, or as a manifestation of sin actually, alienated people from prosperity, the descendants of Ham became servants, and amongst them, there were servants of servants. Are you following my point? And one day, they took some of them as slaves. But we have said, like I said last week, it is not as if we are justifying slavery now. We are saying that the time to favor the descendants of Ham came when Jesus died on the cross. Again, when Jesus starts something, it also grows. It's like throwing a pebble inside in the center of a pond. The ripples, are you getting my point, eventually will cover the whole pond. But at the beginning, you see, there's a time-related advancement of that ripple. Are you getting my point? So at the beginning, you may not see much. But we are saying that since Jesus died 2,000 years ago, every curse that was placed upon every descendant of Ham was removed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? Therefore, Paul said to him then, he was talking about him and other apostles and other Christians at that time, was committed the word of what? Reconciliation. That God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself. That is, the descendants of Ham that believes in Jesus Christ has as much claim on the promises recorded by the prophets as any descendant of Abraham. Are you getting my point? That the promises given to Abraham are yes and amen. That is, they are confirmed and established only by faith. That's why I've told that, look, don't let anybody fool you, telling that the Jews are special. The Jews were special. The people that are special now are people that are of faith in Christ Jesus. Because being special is a promise given to Abraham. And if you don't have faith in Christ Jesus, you are not a descendant of Abraham. Now, this is the point I'm making. When the blessedness in Christ Jesus was given to everybody, Paul and co. began to spread the word of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling everybody to himself. That look, listen, whether you're a descendant of Ham, or Shem, or Japheth, you're all the same thing. The unifying factor is faith in Christ Jesus. So he preached the gospel to the black man also. Are you getting my point? Now all the troubles you have seen in black nations everywhere is a manifestation of sin. Again, from that same place, there must be what? The manifestation of righteousness. I said there are two levels of spiritual things, to things. One, the spiritual level, and then the material manifestation of that which is spiritual. So God, when Jesus Christ came, first of all, John the Baptist went preaching a gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Then Jesus appeared, he began to heal the sick, to raise the dead, open blind eyes. Are you getting my point? And open deaf ears. And then he looked at the poor and he preached the gospel to the poor. Like I told you, there's no emergency breakthrough when it comes to poverty. There's not. There's progressive improvement and eventual coming out of poverty into abundant prosperity. I gave an offering yesterday and next morning I became a multimillionaire is a lie 99.9% of the times. I told the widow of Zarephath, number one, by the time Elijah left where he was, she was set for her breakthrough. She had done works that, listen, again, that only promised her sustenance in the time of famine. It's not that kind of prosperity you're looking for. Prophet, leave for your house, no food again. Prophet must come back. Is that the kind of, you know, people do? I don't know how people reason. Let's leave that side. So this is the matter we should sit on. That so when the time for reconciliation came, are you getting my point? The time of reconciliation, this is what happened. God is preaching the gospel, spiritual. The black man, which you can see, I said Nigeria is the most important nation to explain that. They have received the gospel. The remnant of God in there has received the gospel. Why is there no emergency breakthrough? Because it doesn't work like that. Then wisdom, remember what I said earlier, wisdom was first taken from them. They became poor. To make them rich again, what happens? Wisdom will be given back to them. I said the ministry of reconciliation. Before I go on, let me put a pause here and explain something. This morning I was walking, I was sitting on the bed and working on the computer, and then my wife was reading a book behind me. And she pointed something out to me that an angel said in that book, Angels on Assignment, that the angel said to the man that money, was talking about money, and that it's meant to do the work of God, that it gets its meaning when it's doing the work of God. And that people don't understand how much money God will give into their hands if only they will use it to do the work of God. And when my wife read it, I said, let me see. I read it myself, and I gave her back the book. And I said, you know the problem now? I said, well, what is the work of God? Do you understand my point? That is where the problem now is. I said, what this angel has told this guy is very true. I said, but what you hear a lot of times depends on what's inside your heart. A pastor will carry that kind of thing and say, you see, those of you who have not yet given all your money to this ministry, you are not, you see, that's why God has not been pouring money into your hand. Because as far as he's concerned, all that is the work of God is that one. And he believed the word of that angel, and it is true. Are you getting my point? But the question really is that really what the word of God is? The work of God is? I've preached many messages on that. If you go and check our catalog. Okay? But what I want to introduce in that regard, because what that angel said, like I told my wife, she said, what do you think? I said, I think this guy heard the correct angel talk. I said, it's very true. But the question is that what is the work of God? That's why I'm talking now about the ministry of reconciliation. When people were cursed, you saw the manifestation. Their roles spoiled. Are you getting my point? They will need, is it 10 megawatts? Is that what they use nationwide? Something like that. They will need 10 megawatts. All their power stations together will generate maybe 2 megawatts. You know, if you notice, in the last few days, NEPA has been fairly constant. I don't know whether you've noticed. Uh-huh. It's not an angel that fell down from heaven that's lighting the cables. They finished repair. I think somebody told me that the power station that they gave the Koreans to run is now running. I said, look at it. This was the same power station that Nepal officials gathered and said, no, a foreigner must not run it. Now, I want to explain something here. Whether the government will agree or not depends on whether we are ready for blessing or not. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That is actually what makes the difference. That is, in the same way we made wrong decisions and we went down, we'll start making some crucial decisions and we'll start coming up. It's the use of the laws of life that God uses to execute either blessing or curses on people. Do you follow the point I'm making? So that when you find out that God is ready to bless, like I believe personally right now, is ready to bless a nation like Nigeria, he stops giving them cruel rulers. Because he told us that when I want to punish the Egyptian, I put him into the hands of a cruel ruler. That is why you had better learn to discern the times. There are those who joined the military because they thought the military will continue ruling Nigeria. But everything has seasons. Are you getting my point? And it appears like the season for the military has passed. So there are people who build careers in the military, believing that one day they will become minister and military administrator and all of that, that right now, be content with your wages is the gospel of John the Baptist to the soldier. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, that's how these things work. So you find that will now be taken out of the hand of the cruel ruler. And believe me, you know, Nigerians who break laws everywhere here, when they cross the border, you know, they stop breaking laws. Otherwise, you are going into jail. One day, I mean, let me give us an example. When God wanted to beautify FCT Abuja, you know, he didn't put two people, he put one. Right now, if they sell you land in Abuja, you will first investigate the first settlers upon that land, not only to talk about master plan. El-Rufai may be gone, but the thing he did, he put the fear of God in people for the next 20 years. Some people think the man is cruel. No, no, it's a matter of personal perception. If he took your house, he was cruel. If he didn't, he's a nice guy.